At least one less piece of uncertainty when it comes to the economy. We now know who President Obama wants at the top of America's central bank.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The White House confirms that it wants Janet Yellen to take what is arguably the most powerful single economic policy position in the world, chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve. The president will announce later today that he's chosen economist Janet Yellen, the current vice chair at the Fed. But the actual confirmation has to come from Congress, where there could be a fight. We have several reports, beginning with Marketplace's Mark Garrison, who joins us live. Mark, what do we expect to see in a confirmation process for Janet Yellen?
Well, first, she is highly likely to be confirmed in the Senate. She is now vice chair of the Fed. That job required Senate confirmation, which she got in 2010. She's been through this before, so don't expect the movies or House of Cards, you know, where some dark secret is going to come out. I mean, many key Democrats have already said that she's got their vote. So whether she gets confirmed, I think, is less interesting than how she potentially gets confirmed. So obviously, we have the government shutdown, the debt ceiling fight, Congress a little preoccupied. But eventually, the Senate will get around to having hearings. Investors are going to be listening closely when they do to what Yellen says for any kind of subtle, you know, dog whistle frequency signals as to what she would do when she is Fed chair. So she can expect some tough questions from Republican critics who say the Fed is too aggressive with the bond buying program. We thought the Fed might dial that back. It did not. So, you know, Wall Street is going to be listening to this confirmation process. And in the meantime, Ben Bernanke has the gig through January.
My colleague, Marketplace's Mark Garrison, thank you. Janet Yellen is a professor emerita at UC Berkeley's Business School. She chaired the President's Council of Economic Advisors under Clinton. And as a sidebar, she's from Brooklyn, New York, and is married to a Nobel Prize-winning economist, George Akerlof. And the Fed chair she would replace, if confirmed, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has more on the Ben Bernanke legacy.
When Ben Bernanke took the helm of the Federal Reserve in 2006, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had broken through to 11,000, and the economy was going gangbusters. 3 years later, things looked a lot different.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average has fallen below 7,000 for the first time in more than 11 years.
Bernanke's academic background was crucial, says Dartmouth economist Matt Slaughter. Bernanke headed the economics department at Princeton and was an expert on the Great Depression.
One of the scholarly lessons he shared through his academic work was the need for central bankers to innovate, especially in times of crises.
And innovate he did, says Beth Ann Bovino, an economist at Standard & Poor's.
You're looking at one of the most creative chairmen in history. Each time markets felt that they were out of bullets, they pull out a bazooka.
One of those bazookas was quantitative easing, says Bovino. The Fed bought billions in mortgage-backed securities and other bonds to keep interest rates low. It lent billions to banks.
I was scared. I wasn't sure if it would work.
But it did work, says Lawrence White, a professor of economics at NYU. He says Bernanke's extreme actions kept the economy from going off a cliff. At the same time, he says, Bernanke changed the culture of the notoriously cryptic Fed.
Making the Fed a more open, less mysterious place.
Still, Bernanke's extreme actions haven't been without their critics, says White.
Some people thinking inflation is just around the corner and he's been way too vigorous. Plus, he's seen as part of the cabal that bailed out the banks.
But that kind of back and forth is part of the job, according to a graduation speech Bernanke gave this year at Princeton.
Economics is a highly sophisticated field of thought that is superb at explaining to policymakers precisely why the choices they made in the past were wrong.
Legacies are hard to predict. After all, Bernanke's predecessor, Alan Greenspan, was knighted during his term as Federal Reserve chairman. Now, he's largely blamed for the financial crisis. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Yeah, after the Dow fell 1.1%, 159 points yesterday, stock index futures are up this morning. The FT 100 in London is up by just a fraction of a point.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Now on to what's seen as a major setback for Walmart's aspirations in India. Foreign companies that want to do retail in India have to sign up a local business partner. Today, Walmart of Arkansas says it's buying out the stake of its partner, Bharti Enterprises of New Delhi, for an undisclosed amount. Without a local partner, no Walmart retail in that massive market. We caught up with the BBC's Rahul Tandon in a Calcutta shopping district. Rahul, beyond these ownership regulations, there are other rules that are a challenge for Walmart?
The Indian government saying you're going to have to source 30% of your products locally. Walmart and other big foreign supermarkets are saying we just can't do that at the moment. So actually, nobody's really applying as a foreign company to get into this sector. And the Indians are desperate to get Walmart and other big companies in here because the Indian food supply chain is very inefficient. They hope the foreign companies are going to come in and sort it out. The foreign companies are saying give us the right environment to do so.
Yet there is some logic to local partnership and local sourcing that can also be a tool of economic development within India.
But I think the problem for the foreign supermarkets is they say we don't want so much local sourcing. Lots of small shops like the ones I can see in front of me are saying we don't want Walmart in here because they're going to destroy our business. The Indian government, though, does want big foreign companies coming in to try and rejuvenate the market here, to really give it more confidence for others who want to also invest in India. But with an election coming up in 2014, David, I think we're at that stagnation point, really.
And Rahul, before we go, we're speaking at a moment of a lot of retail activity in India. This is the time of year?
Here in Calcutta, it's Durga Puja. The whole city comes to a standstill for the next 5 days. Every one of the 18 million people here is going to be buying presents in the next few hours. I'm going to go and try and join them.
Rahul Tandon, BBC, Calcutta, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.